See, you know how to praise God even when it's a little bit warm. I'm thinking the people on this side right now are thinking, you know what, there's too many people over here. I'm going to spread over there. It's a little bit more room over there. So this guy, no, not this guy. Look at that. The heat's affected my brain. Because we didn't have air conditioning last night either. So God was already working as a prequel in my life for today, and I didn't know it. I was blind to that. And we're going to talk about prequels. But before that, I want to tell you about this poor woman who locked herself out of her car. Locked herself out of her car. She could see the keys, but she couldn't reach the keys because the keys were inside the car. And the car was locked. You all know what this is like. That's what it means to be locked outside the car. When you're outside the car, your keys are inside the car, and you can't get to them. And that's where she is. She doesn't know how to break into a car. She doesn't know how to do any of these things. And so she says what she does know how to do is she knows how to pray. And so she prays. She says, "Dear God, you know I can't break into a car. You know I need to get the keys out of my car. You know I need to get going. Please send me someone that could help. Thank you. Amen." She's looking around. You know, she's looking around, you know, like for those guys that drive the pickup trucks. You ever see those guys in them trucks? They look like they could, they're kind of like, you know, MacGyver. They look like they could do anything, all right? But there's nobody in a pickup truck. So she's thinking, well, maybe there'd be, you know, some nice guy, you know, driving a, you know, a nice car, maybe a Lexus or something like that, you know, and they have AAA or they can call someone and get me some help, but nobody like that. No, what she sees is some greasy-haired, bearded, tattooed, dirty-looking, scruffy-looking, sketchy-looking guy walking across the parking lot. And she's like, "Really, God? Really?" But that's all that's around. So she goes up to the guy and says, "Excuse me, sir, but I've locked myself out of my car. Can you help me get into my car?" And he looks at her, you can imagine, with just like shock and surprise, but also a smile, and says, "Sure." He walks over to the car, and within 10 seconds, boom, bang-a-bing, bang-a-bom, he's got it open. She says, "Oh, thank you, sir, so much. Let me shake your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're such a nice man. You are exactly the angel God sent." And he says, "Lady, I ain't a nice guy, and I certainly aren't any angel. I just got out of prison an hour ago for stealing cars." And she says, "Thank the Lord he sent a professional." It's those little things. Sometimes God uses people in strange ways that they don't imagine they're going to be used. Sometimes God sends people in our lives that we don't see how in the world they're going to be a blessing to us. And yet, if we are faithfully listening to God, we can discover that God's hand works in a lot of miraculous ways. A lot of miraculous ways. Last week, you got to hear some twisted version of Israeli history. Did you not?
Yes,
you did. All right. All right. You heard the story of Elijah, the big showdown there at Mount Carmel, and all that. But today's passage is a prequel. A prequel is what happens before. All right. This is what happens before. Today's what happens before. And if it had not been for that widow acting in faith, if Elijah had not listened to God and gone to that region, if all of those things had never happened, then the big event would never have happened. It's the little things. It's the little things. So many times we get distracted by the big things, we forget about the little things. Last weekend was Memorial Day, and we remembered the sacrifice of those who have fought for our country. Tomorrow, as I mentioned in the prayer, is the 72nd anniversary of D-Day, when 160,000 Allied troops crossing, you know your history, you know how that worked, 8 divisions facing 55 German divisions. It was impossible, impossible. People who have been there to France have said when they've looked at Normandy Beach, they were more moved there than when they saw Paris. Remembering the sacrifice, remembering the life, all of that, all of that. Dwight Eisenhower, the general in charge, said, If it had not been for Andrew Higgins, we would have lost the war. Andrew Higgins won the war for us. Andrew Higgins? Andrew Higgins? Who the heck is Andrew Higgins? I never heard of Andrew Higgins. Have you ever heard of Andrew Higgins? Glenn has. Of course. Andrew Higgins is the guy who invented and manufactured and made the amphibious vehicles they used for the crossing of the channel. It was the little boat that made the difference. Not the aircraft carrier, not the battleship, not the destroyer, but the guy who created the boat that allowed 160,000 troops to cross the English Channel to fight. The little things. The little things. Sometimes we get distracted by the big event. Oh, there's Elijah, Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal, all of that. But before that happened, Elijah and a widow. See, that's the prequel. You remember Ahab, don't you? Is Ahab a good guy or a bad guy? Bad guy. Jezebel, good guy? Bad woman. Bad, nasty woman, terrible woman, all right? And then there's Elijah. And Elijah shows up at Ahab, calls him on the carpet, says, what you're doing is wrong. There'll be no water. No water. Goes off. He's doing okay for a while, camping out. But pretty soon the brook dries up. And God says, hey, Elijah, I want you to go 100 miles north. And Lebanon's going, it would be like modern-day Lebanon, Phoenicia, all right, Sidon. I want you to go up there. And Elijah's like, but Lord, that's not Israeli territory. Just thought I'd let you know the boundaries. Okay, that's where they worship Baal, the other guy god. Really? Yeah, that's where I want you to go. Furthermore, I want you to go to a little town called Zarephath. You all know where Zarephath is. Some of you are planning a summer retreat there. You know you are. You can't wait, okay? Zarephath, not only is it in enemy territory, it is 8 miles south of Jezebel's hometown. Really, God? Really? Because there's a whole lot of other places you could send me. You're going to send me into Jezebel's territory, 8 miles south of her hometown, and what's going to happen there? I have commanded a widow to take care of you. You got to understand, back in those days, a widow pretty much meant that you were the least of the least of the least. No financial security, no provisions, nothing like that. In fact, in Hebrew, that word for widow actually also has a root meaning mute. You are socially mute. You have no power. You have no voice. That's God's plan. How many of you want to sign up for that plan? But that's what Elijah gets, and that's what Elijah does. And you're thinking, okay, but it's God. It's going to work out okay. It's going to be all right. So when he makes it to the village, he sees the widow gathering some sticks. She says, hey, give me some water. And you can imagine the look. This is a widow, a single mom, all right, gathering the last sticks to make the last fire to serve the last meal before her and her son die. She says, I'll get you some water. I got your water here. And then he says, give me some cake, which is a fancy word for bread. She says, look, as your God lives, I got nothing. I got nothing. You heard this story. Elijah says, but God is going to provide. God is going to provide. You have to trust. You have to trust. It's because Elijah trusted the voice of God to go to a place he didn't want to go. It's because God also taught. Did you notice that the widow apparently didn't get the memo? Did you notice that? God tells Elijah, I've commanded a widow to take care of you. But when Elijah calls her on it, she doesn't seem to know what the heck he's talking about. I didn't get no widow. I don't have anything. I don't know why God sent you to me. There is no possible way I can help you with any of this. But all of that still works out okay, which is why we were able last week to talk about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. The little things. The kind act. The generous word. The gracious prayer. So many times we get ourselves lost in discipleship thinking we have to do something grand and big and magnificent when it's the small little things that make a difference. Those are the acts God uses every day to touch the lives of people. Elijah wasn't wealthy. Elijah wasn't powerful. Elijah wasn't even a priest. No one knew where he came from. No one had ever heard of him. We don't even get the widow's name. And God used that incident. That's the prequel that sets up the story that we heard last week. God uses ordinary people like us in small, seemingly unbelievable ways to be the pebble that goes in the pond that creates the ripple that makes all the difference in the world. But for it to happen, you have to be willing to trust. You have to trust. Elijah had to go to enemy territory. The widow had to offer the very last that she had. You have to trust. And when you trust yourself wholly and completely to God, even in the small things, big, wonderful things can happen. Trust in God, your whole life, your whole self, your heart, your mind, and your soul. Amen.